getting up, getting the kids ready, getting to school. And then by the time the parent gets to work, then it's, 10 o'clock. They want a coffee. They skip breakfast. Lunch happens whenever. So I think a good morning routine is a big one.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I'm very excited to have this lady on. We're going to be talking about, if like you've seen in the month of March, Alt Coaching is very kind, and I appreciate their sponsorship for the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I spoke with Andrew, now I'm going to speak with Kat Bass. We're going to be talking about her journey into this world, her passion for it. We're going to be talking about how she gave us tips with the clients that she's worked with in the past and how you can, work with her and get your life going in the right direction. But Kat, thanks for taking the time to chat with me. How you doing?
Hi, Art. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, looking forward to chat with you. And again, I appreciate you and Andrew looking to support fatherhood and parenting. But let's talk a little bit about, you, and let my audience get to know you. And then we'll kind of go into certain things about, I love the habit forming and just healthy lifestyle, nutrition and all that. But you have a passion for helping people. You do a lot. You create healthy habits for people. You have a lot of experience with that, but also too, you have a lot of education and background in that. Can you first share how you got into this field and also your experience through working in this industry?
Sure. So I certainly did not get here intentionally. Really, I did not work out until I was in college. I got into it for more of the stress relief benefits, but also I did want to change my body. And I started learning that lifting is really the main way to do that. But I also just loved working out. I took all sorts of group fitness classes. I was actually in college for fashion merchandising management, which was great. I learned a lot about business, but, took a turn. My first job out of college was a grind. It was great. I learned a lot. But I still just had this itch to get into lifting and really help people discover what I was discovering. So quit that job, became a personal trainer, and kind of, just built it from the ground up. I worked at a really amazing club in New York City, where I got to work with a bunch of trainers and really cool clientele. That's where I started also getting into nutrition. And I worked with some people there because as I was a trainer, I just really noticed that the fitness element is not the hard part. It's the nutrition. And people can work out for years and years and years, and myself included. And unless the nutrition is on point, you kind of see no changes, or you get the amazing benefits of exercising, but maybe the body's not changing, or your cholesterol is still going up, blood pressure is still high. So like I realized that the nutrition was really, really important. And I also had a bunch of health issues myself with a lot of digestion stuff. I had eating disorders when I was a teenager. So I just had a lot of nutritional load myself. And as I started getting a better handle of that, I went to holistic nutrition school, learned about inflammation and gut healing and just so many things that we don't think about when you think about looking good or feeling good, hormones and blood sugar and all of that stuff. So that really opened up my world to the holistic nutrition side of things. And then I felt even more compelled to help others. For a while, I kept my training business and my nutrition pretty separate because it was also hard to get people who wanted to do both or wanted to work on their nutrition. It's like, we all know it's important, but it's getting people to want to commit was really hard. And of course I was, pretty young and really excited, like, hey, I just learned all this stuff. Why doesn't everybody else want to learn? But it really is difficult work. So over the years, I just got so much better at coaching people and realizing it's not just here's information, run with it, but here's information. Now I'm going to teach you how to actually incorporate this in your life on a very small day-to-day scale. And then it just kind of went from there. But a lot of my education has just been working with so many people over the past few years. I learned a ton in school and I'm always taking classes, but there's just nothing like working with people and seeing the habits that actually stick and, what people actually need to fit into their busy lives, because everyone's really busy now, and it's not really a time thing. It's just you have to know what to do with the time you have.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing that. And it's obviously my audience, just like myself, can hear your passion. You know, you and Andrew Hayes, your business partner, have similar things, like worked into advertising and then still and you both like, yeah, maybe you weren't like athletes or anything. You started working out in college and that you, but you took that passion for what you wanted to do and just started learning more and more and just, you know, finding different ways to help yourself. And then obviously your business and all that. I love that. And yeah. And it's so funny though, how, I mean, you must be just like us, like people who maybe aren't in this field are bombarded with like, you know, quick fixes to your lifestyle and all this other stuff. You mentioned like inflammation, right? Like there are certain things like, yeah. And nutrition, like, oh man, you spoke on a lot of things I want to talk about. I'm sorry. I'm kind of like going everywhere, but like, I feel like inflammation was huge for me and my wife. Like, so we started taking turmeric with like pepper, like these like turmeric shots, because I was just like, I didn't want to take Advil. Like after like this one surgery, I didn't like, I was just trying to like stay away from like Advil, Tylenol, all these other things. Hey, I mean, for people those listening, if that works for you, that's great. But I just, for me, I'm like, eh, I kind of want to stay away from that. And someone said like, oh, turmeric with pepper, you know, and that just made like the whole day, like I started to feel better. And I started doing intermittent fasting and all these other things. And like, I would work out since like college yourself, like college is when I started working out in college, like eating a Big Mac or something like that, you know, and all these other things. But when you put nutrition together, that's the thing where you're kind of like, oh, okay. Like that's the key to your success. So I think the biggest thing, and I love the fact that you're combining everything, all of your passions, habit-based, you know, ways that you can like coach people, I think are the biggest things to get people to like on the road to success, because we always have those like New Year's resolutions, you throw it out and then some people just kind of phase out. But talk about like how you build habits with working out and also finding the right ways to eat. And I know that we're all going to have like cheat days, or yeah, we might have a pizza or have ice cream or have a brownie here and there, but like talk a little bit about like how you mix all of your passions through your coaching and through your business.
Sure. So habits is a big one for me, because habits are based in action, and action is how you get anywhere. It's not knowing what you should be doing, but sitting there doing nothing about it. That also doesn't help people. And like you mentioned earlier, there's just so much information out there. It's even really hard if one day you're like, okay, I'm going to get started. I'm going to Google. What do I do? You know, endless, everything you read is probably contradicting the last thing. And it just really makes people paralyzed. There's too much to understand. So you just do nothing and go back to wherever you were before. So I always work with, you know, habits, because any action that's giving you forward momentum to do the right thing, or at least make one slightly better choice than you made the day before, that matters. And a lot of people make it too difficult for themselves to start by trying to do too much at once. And I, if anything, and a client works with me, if they think it's almost a little too easy what I'm asking them, you know, at first I'm like, yeah, maybe this sounds simple to have two vegetables per day. But then in action, you know, it's 6 p.m. and they haven't had one. Like, oh, maybe this is a little harder. I have to think about this a little more. And, you know, everyone I work with, we start them very differently based on how they came to me to begin with. So I work with people who actually could have a really good understanding, and they just need to fine tune a few things. And we work a lot more granular. Some people are really green. They have no idea where to start. So for them, eating two vegetables per day is a big deal. And, you know, and then when they do, we're like, good job, you know, can we add a third? And it's like really tiny habits like that. But I focus most on protein. So just eating protein at every meal, you know, maybe in the beginning, it doesn't necessarily matter how much, but we're just trying to get some at every meal. And then for some people, we do have a daily goal that they're trying to hit. But it's just, you know, slowly building that in over time. Same with movement. If you start with just walking, I'm happy with walking. If we can add lifting, that's even better. But for some people, it's just getting that walk in is the hard place. So that's where we're going to start. And then you'll see after like a few months of just slowly adding in these small habits, they're a completely new person with a new set of routines. And it just happens so slowly. And that's how it sticks. some people do great with a, you know, a lot at once, rip the band-aid off, kind of overhaul, but that's a personality type. You know, everyone's a little different. So I try to make people also think that's not the expectation, because maybe you could be really strong for 3 weeks and then the fourth week, you know, you get an unexpected meeting, throws your day off, and then everyone's like, well, it all went out the window anyway, and then they give up. So it's kind of like we have to find that balance of also, you know, I don't believe in on the wagon or off the wagon. I just think, you know, every day is a new day that you can start fresh. And if it didn't end well, that doesn't mean the next day you can't try again. And there are always slip ups. There are always moments where people overindulge, maybe too many days in a row, but it doesn't mean that you can't find your vegetables that next day. There's always something small to go back to. And that's the habits are the key of our program, because it's always, like I said earlier, based in action, and people feel good when they do the hard thing. And it's my job to make sure that hard thing isn't impossible, but it's also not too easy. And there's a nice little edge. You know, I find people, I like to use that word edge, because we want it to just have a little harder. Like maybe even for you not taking ibuprofen, that could have been hard at first because you're just used to it, and it does work. It could take the pain away. And then you build up trust, you try the turmeric, and then you're like, oh, I feel good doing this. And then you probably do it more and more. And if you miss a day, you're like, oh man, I missed it. Yeah. But doesn't mean you can't the next day do it again. It's not like if you miss your turmeric for one day, you should be like, okay, I'm done with that now. Failed. That would be insane. That would be insane. And that's easy because turmeric is so easy to say, but people do that a lot with just even healthy eating. 3 good days and then 1 bad day. And they're like, well, I messed up the week, so I'll just start on Monday. it's a very common thing people think is like, it's always the Monday, or it's always the weekend's really challenging. I'm traveling, so I can't do anything good about it. You know, and those are sometimes the moments where people need the most help, which is like, hey, how can you travel and eat mostly healthy? Which makes traveling go a lot better, makes people feel better. So, you know, there's just so many ways to incorporate healthy habits in that are so small, so bite-sized that I think people forget that it doesn't need to just be this gigantic overhaul, which it could be too. But it certainly is about just the small things that add up over time is what we focus on.
Yeah, that's great. And I think too, like for people listening to this, if they're looking for someone to help them out, it's great because like you see the different scales of people. It's like you kind of like see what someone wants, and you're like, all right, this like person A can go from the jump and I'll do X, Y, and Z, where person B might, like you said, that one edge might be eating 2 or 3 vegetables a day. And yeah, it's like you mentioned the airport. Like, yeah, like my family and I went on a trip. And it's like you get to the airport and there's certain like places that aren't the best, and like you eat that, and then you're like, we were making different connections, and like I ate like some pizza, and I'm like, I sat on the plane, I'm like, why did I do that? Yeah, just like you're talking about airport travel, like, oh, I felt that in my bones. But also too, like, you know, it seems like you can help out people who feel like they are living a healthier lifestyle, but maybe are plateauing, right? And you can find that edge to push them up another notch, to climb that, you know, mountain. I was saying plateau example, right? But it's like, all right, you're here, you got your habits and routine, but maybe we can kind of switch that and go one more like rung or like a little bit higher, so you're not just keep on plateauing. Obviously my audience is moms and dads listen to this. What are some of the pitfalls that you see that parents at any age or something like that might kind of fall into? Just that you've seen with your clients that you've worked with, that you're like, hey, you know, I've noticed that parents tend to do this, and this is how we maybe get them out of that.
Mm-hmm. I think the most common thing I notice with parents is just being very tired at the end of the day when it comes to prepping their own food, just being, you know, not having the time to cook a full meal, which is quite common, or the mornings. That's a big morning routine thing. I think middle of the day is kind of a gray area for a lot of people, but a strong morning and a strong evening are pivotal for someone's health and well-being. So I think those two are definitely the areas where, you know, getting up, getting the kids ready, getting to school. And then by the time the parent gets to work, then it's, you know, 10 o'clock, they want a coffee, they skip breakfast, lunch happens whenever. So I think a good morning routine is a big one. And that's why I put so many people on smoothies. It could really be as simple as, you know, putting a smoothie together takes 3 minutes or less, but you can sip on that while you're now doing all of the tasks, or bring it in the car with you on the commute. So I think just having something really quick and easy to resort to is a good thing. And I work with people a lot on no prep cooking, it just means you're prepping meals, but you're not necessarily cooking them, but you know how to put like a rotisserie chicken plus a steaming bag green bean plus some mashed potatoes that go in the microwave. You know how to put those components together to make a rounded meal. That's what matters most. I don't care if those are homemade or if you get them prepped from the store, but they're all healthy choices, and it's knowing what to look for and also not making the excuse of, oh, I'm tired or I have nothing ready. Because if that's going to be every single day of your life, then you need to have a plan for it. If it's not, then maybe it's an exception. But one thing I hear most from people is just they're busy and they don't have the time. So that means either it's a meal delivery service, or maybe you spend an extra hour or two on the weekend meal prepping and get your kids involved. Kids find cooking to be way more fun than you may think, because they just don't know that it sucks yet. So they are like, when they're little and they kind of see what mom and dad are doing, they may want to help cut up a vegetable, or they're curious. So if you make it fun and exciting and interesting, they might actually be more on board. The other main thing I see is that parents will prioritize their kids' nutrition way more than their own. So, you know, the parent who, you know, my kid doesn't have anything that's not organic, non-GMO, all that. But meanwhile, like, they'll make their kid this really nice dinner, and then they get the scraps, or they're ordering takeout for themselves. And it's like, your kid also sees that. You know, they see that. And, you know, of course it's so hard when you are really busy, but I think there's just ways to make healthier choices that are also fast. And I help people come up with what those fast choices are, even if it's like a 20-minute meal, or just knowing how to order a healthier takeout option. I work with tons of people on menu planning. So, hey, where are you going to order dinner from tonight? They send me a menu and they ask for help of what to look for. And then I tell them what to order. They don't have to order it, but at least, you know, if they're getting pizza, maybe you can just have one slice and get a side salad with some chicken on it or something. But your kids can still have the pizza. Yeah. And it's nice and easy for everyone. So sometimes it's just thinking outside the box, like just a little bit more, but there really always is a healthier option. It's just some people don't know. So my job is to just help people know. And then, you know, it really grows from there. And when people start feeling good and they feel good in their bodies and they're making maybe the harder choice, but it's the healthier choice, that builds up momentum. It builds steam, and people want to, you know, keep the habits going. And it really can make such a profound difference for a parent when they feel confident and they feel good about the choices they're making.
Nice. Love that. Yeah. And I spoke with Andrew also too about this, and you're talking about like ways that people can find healthier options. And sometimes, you know, again, whatever topic, you know, the media might project this way or that way to lead you to, but I feel sometimes people are like, oh yeah, you know, the problem with, you know, people that have like fast food or this or that or unhealthy choices, it's because it's a lot cheaper. Yeah, that is probably the instance, but there's also probably foods that people can pick up at a grocery store that are great for you, that are you know, that's not going to break the bank, so to speak. So for you and in your line of work and your experience, what are some go-to foods that are healthy, that are great choices for moms, dads, kids, families, whatever, just people in general that won't break the bank in your experience?
Always buy in bulk. So the more you buy, especially for meats, the better. And frozen. Frozen is a good place to find good deals. It also lasts longer too. So if you buy frozen fruits or veggies, they just stay in your fridge so they don't go bad. I think another big piece of spending is that people just let things go bad. And then they are mad at themselves, but then they also are like, oh, well, when I buy healthy food, it goes bad. Well, I'm like, well, eat it. That's a sign that you need to be eating it. Because produce should go bad. Like, it's a good thing that you're buying food that goes bad. And it's, you know, unfortunate that maybe you, instead of ordering out that night, you have to take care of the spinach that's in the fridge, but it's so easy to also we like throw that on some eggs or something. But I also think you do not need to get caught up in the fancy labels of like organic, you know, non-GMO, all natural. That's good. But a lot of those terms have, they're very loose anyways. Organic food, there's dozens of chemicals that are allowed in an organic product. So if that's, you know, going to save you $3 buying the non-organic version, go for that. It still doesn't mean it's a waste of buying a healthy food. And same with meats. It's great to have the hormone-free, grass-fed beef, all that. But that's sometimes for people, that's a much steeper cost, and still doesn't mean that conventional beef is a bad thing to get. What you're trying to look for is just the plain beef, not the hot dog or, you know, the corn dog. You're just looking for just like the plain old beef. And always buy in bulk. Costco, places like that are great, but most stores have deals or sales, weekly ones, and you just stock up when certain things are on sale when they are. Buying a whole chicken is a lot cheaper per pound than buying just the chicken breasts themselves. So maybe, you know, get a little adventurous and learn, yeah, how to buy like a whole chicken. It's, or the chicken drumsticks, even, they are so much cheaper than the plain chicken breast. And chicken breast, I think, is the go-to healthy diet food for people because we all are familiar with it. So that can be very, very expensive. Like, I've seen it cost like $20 for like two nice chicken breasts. That's crazy when you could buy like two whole chickens for that same price. And so I think, true. Yeah, that just also comes from maybe not knowing how to prep certain things. But also the internet is full of so many good ideas. If you're really on a budget and you just want to look up like, you know, 10 recipes under $5, like you'll find them. It's pretty, there's so much information out there, but yeah, buying frozen, just buying in bulk and keep it routine. You do not need to have a different thing every single day. Yeah. I think that's great in theory, and some people really don't like repetition, but if there's one thing I really see with the most successful people on my program, even myself, like it's routine eating. Maybe breakfast and lunch are pretty similar throughout the week, but your dinners are different. But if every meal has to be new and different and a variety of foods, it's just going to be so much harder to stay healthy or stay within a budget.
Wow. Again, like I feel like you're speaking to me. I do the grocery shopping, and yeah, like the breast by itself, the chicken breast by itself are totally more expensive than like getting per like the pound of meat, like, you know, the cost per pound for like a rotisserie chicken or just like a, or, you know, a full chicken. And then also too, you mentioned something and I'm, it's so music to my ears. Cause I don't want to waste food. You started working, helping out at a food pantry, and you just see like the importance of food and like, you don't want to waste food. Right. And, is there, I know fresh, you know, but you mentioned frozen fruits and vegetables, and it's also too, like how you prepare and how you like warm up the vegetables. I get it. But how much of a difference is it eating fresh vegetables versus frozen vegetables? Because I think, right, I think you're speaking to all the parents out there, like, why did I waste so much on this broccoli? And all of a sudden, like, you bought it on a Saturday, and all of a sudden you're cooking on a Wednesday, maybe, and it's like mealy, and like, mm-hmm. Oh, I can't cook this anymore. So what is there a big difference between frozen and non-frozen and fresh? And is it also, too, like, how would you prepare it? Because you just kind of sparked that question right there for me.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, I think frozen foods are usually frozen at their peak ripeness when they're picked. So actually frozen products can be more nutrient dense than fresh. So that's kind of a nice thing to know. Same with canned. Canned can be here or there, but for the most part, if it's the other ingredient in there is like water, then usually that's probably pretty fresh. So difference is when people go to cook it, frozen veggies can sometimes come out a little soggy. But there, certainly, if you just take a sheet pan and pour a bunch of frozen veggies on there and just put it right in the oven, it will get crispy. It will cook up normal, salt and pepper, maybe a little bit of oil, but it will get crispy, like directly from the frozen bag. And
Okay.
I think there's just a mental block about doing it that way for people. But that's also where cooking and knowing how to do a good stir fry is very handy. Stir fries are wonderful for like big pot cooking, or even, you know, make a sauce with and throw some veggies in there and just kind of let them mix in if you're worried about taste. That's a good way to do it. But also for frozen fruits, they are fantastic in smoothies. Or you can just, you know, even if you have yogurt and you put some frozen berries in there, it doesn't taste bad. It actually makes you slow it down a little when they're frozen. So it's kind of a good hack and they'll naturally thaw. You know,
Because
same
it's
with
like eating
oatmeal.
fast is not good, right? So like eating
Right.
slow, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything that makes you slow it down, which is really great. But I just think it's more of a, people don't know how to cook frozen veggies aside from just like steaming them in the bag, which can be like mushy peas. Like we're all getting bad flashbacks to childhood. But I think we can do a lot more with frozen veggies than you think. But again, just Google a recipe. I'm always sending people recipes for things that use frozen veggies because I just know, especially people with kids, it's just a much, much easier way to do it. But also if you know what veggies last long in the fridge, like potatoes or tubers, carrots, those last a really long time in the fridge or not in the fridge. So maybe it's like buy more of those. And then when it's the really sensitive veggies like a spinach, then those ones you would just get frozen. And also, you know, if you're making, you know, a pasta, just dumping a bag of frozen spinach in there, it will heat up with it. And it will, you know, it's a really good hack that requires just no effort at all.
Excellent.
And raw veggies are always good. Tomatoes, carrots, celery, onion, you could put a little sprinkle of raw veggies on top of most things and it will taste good.
Nice. That's awesome. Okay. So we talked about habits. We talked a lot about nutrition. One more question before we finish off with the Father Quick Five. I just want to ask, like, so I know that you get the, oh, I just don't have time for this or that. Right. But part of it, like, so you're eating better. Like people, you know, are starting to eat better, but then they also want to work out, but they're like, I don't have time to go to the gym. Maybe I don't have enough money, whatever, budget wise, whatever. What are some of the ways that people can work out from home or even just going for a walk or whatever, but you said like, you know, just that edge, finding that edge. What are some of the ways that people can work out from home and still get that exercise and fit it in? Because again, you don't have the excuse like, oh, I got to drive to the gym or like, oh, I got to do this. Like, no, your gym quote unquote could be here. So you don't have to go anywhere. So give some tips if you wouldn't mind, like some for ways that people can kind of work out at home.
Sure. There's so much you can do at home. There's, I'm a big fan of isometric training for home, like a wall sit, or you just sit in a squat position, but you hold that. That's a really nice way to have like a spicy workout without needing any equipment. Think like holding a lunge stance at the bottom 20 seconds. You know, that's really hard on your muscles, but it also strengthens your tendons and ligaments. So isometric training, very good for home workouts. But it you really don't need much more than a few simple pieces of equipment, like resistance bands are our go-to for people who are working out at home. Weights are good, but weights can be a little fixed. If you only have like a 20-pound dumbbell, you can only do certain things with that. But bands, if you get a couple of those with varying accommodating resistance, those are a really great way to do a workout. You know, but I would say 20 minutes is enough that if you do like a circuit style, like kind of not taking a break and just go back to back upper body, lower body, core, and repeat, you can certainly get something done. And what we're trying to do is always just move, get the blood flowing, get the muscles pumping. That does so much more for your body than you may think. And the idea that if you don't have a full hour to work out, that it's not worth it is so crazy and so common for everybody. We all do it where it's like, well, if I can't get a good workout in, I might as well not. No, if you do a plank like for 1 minute and then a squat hold for 1 minute and you just repeat those two, that's a fantastic workout. And that's actually really, really hard. Calisthenics are fantastic. So doing anything with body weight, like you can really learn so much and get your body to really grow and adapt just based on that. And then, you know, in our homes, we all have some heavy stuff, whether it's soup cans and you're just holding them in your hand, a broomstick, holding that overhead. There's so many ways. During COVID, I got very creative for home workouts because I trained all my clients over Zoom while they were in their living room. So
nice.
You realize also with the couch or a chair, you can step up on something. You can do dips. You can do push-ups. There really is so much you can do, but I will say for some people, the home workouts are the hardest because you're home and you're distracted by that, you know, thing going on in the other room, or you can just stop and go on your computer. But I would say 20 minutes is all you really need. And that is perfect enough. Of course, nice. Longer could be better, but that's totally on top of walking, which should be pretty much every day. I think walking is a non-negotiable.
Okay.
Anything on top of that, about two minimum per week, but three would be better.
Nice. No, I it's funny how slow a minute is when you're doing
a plank.
You're like, what? So, yep. Great. I appreciate all of this. There's just certain things that some of your answers and your insight spoke to me, and I appreciate this. So I know I took a lot of it. I know my audience will. We're going to finish off with the Father Quick Five. Favorite movie? Do you have one?
Favorite movie? I love The Goonies. I was a big fan of like The Goonies, even like Spaceballs. Like I loved those movies when I was little. So those always stick out as like some favorites, which what I see behind you, you must agree.
Yeah, Goonies, it's our time. Yeah. And then like, may the Schwartz be with you. Love that. Yeah. One of my friends was talking about merchandising. He thought it was like, so that came up with the whole yogurt thing. Love it. Favorite band or musician? Do you have one?
Not really, but okay. I was really into hair metal. But I love all music. I really did love hair metal a lot when I was younger. So I always think of the ones like I loved when I was younger. But I appreciate all music.
Nice. Describe the perfect vacation. Where would it be?
Oh, on a beach.
Nice. Okay. I asked Andrew this too. And, I don't know if you're a sneakerhead as well, cause he and I are both. So if you're a sneakerhead, non-workout sneaker, what you go to, but also too, what your favorite workout sneaker is.
Favorite workout sneaker, I like No Bull, that brand. Okay. They make very good lifting shoes. I am not a sneakerhead, but my non-workout sneakers are just the classic, the Reeboks, like the white ones.
Oh, nice. Yep.
Really old school. Yeah, I always wear those. I have a few pairs. As long as they're white and clean, I'm happy.
Yeah, no doubt. Nice. And lastly, favorite go-to snack after a workout is?
I really love a classic protein pudding bowl. It kind of, to me, tastes like chocolate pudding, but I put a bunch of berries, nuts, and seeds on top of there. Nice. I like eating out of bowls, and I like ice cream style. So when I make it, protein is the base. That's really fun for me.
Awesome. Kat, thank you so much for taking the time. People, make sure you follow her on Kat Best Wellness on Instagram. And for more, check out the websites, obviously, ultaforlife.com and katbest.com. Really appreciate your insight and your passion for this. And it comes through just with, you know, just talking with you. So again, I wish you continued success. But again, thank you for taking the time to chat with me.
Thanks so much, Art. This was great. Really appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks for checking out this week's edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Please rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And also go to artoffatherhood.net. You can have a chance to check out some great articles like the weekly Dad's Doing It Right column, the Collector of the Week, and many more. Plus, you have a chance to win some very cool prizes like video games, collectibles, all that good stuff. Go to artoffatherhood.net, and please make sure you rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts, because I'll greatly appreciate it to get the word out on the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.